Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Our second scripture comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has a sharp two-edged sword. I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You pray with me. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration within all of our hearts and thoughts today be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I'm not going to use a PowerPoint because the nature of what I want to share with you is a little more intimate, personal. This is the third in a series of sermons that are my responses and my kind of reflections related to a series of conversations that we've had over the past several weeks. Many of you know, many of you have taken part in what we called during the season of Lent vision visits with the Vic. There were 10 of these that Mayor Brooke and I were able to attend. At least 20 or so folks from the church at each one of these, and we shared and had conversations related to our life together at Stonebridge United Methodist Church. I've chosen to set these reflections of these conversations against the scripture that's found in the book of Revelation, particularly the scriptures related to the seven churches in the seven cities of ancient Asia Minor. The book of Revelation is a letter written by a messianic Jew in the late first century. Probably he had witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And he was very concerned about the Christian church holding fast, firm, to who and what it was about. This letter is a response to a vision which this seer had. John, you know him as John the Revelator, or John of Patmos. This letter was written to these seven churches in these seven cities. It was meant to be read on a Sunday morning, everybody gathered, and read from beginning to end. Everyone would hear the admonitions and the proclamations that the letter was intended to for all of these churches. It started out, the letter was read in Ephesus. The admonition to the Ephesian church was, you have lost the love you had at first. And my call for you is, get that love back so that you can get that passion back that you first had that was so important to who you were and what you were about. The second letter went to the city of Smyrna and the little house church in Smyrna, which was under intense persecution because the city was a strong Roman city that worshipped the emperor. And because this little church worshipped Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior alone, they were intensely persecuted. And the letter to the Smyrnans was, hold fast, hold on, in the midst of the external struggle. Now we come to Pergamum, the city of Pergamum, and the little church holding and struggling on in this city of Pergamum. The concern here is a little different. Even though they did have struggles from the outside, the main concern was something that was going on inside, internal. Because John was Jewish through and through, and yet had understood and was revealed to him that Jesus was the true Messiah, he was a Messianic Jew, but he was Jew first. And because of that, the letter is filled with Old Testament allusions and ideas and scripture. In this particular church, he says, you have a Balaam in your midst. Now that's Old Testament code. You have a Balaam in your midst. You can read all about Balaam in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. What he meant by that is Balaam was a Gentile. You have a Gentile Christian in your midst that is teaching something against the orthodox teaching of the church. It's something that's being distracting. You're majoring in the minors. And the admonition is to get back on track. If you've been reading these for yourselves, these particular letters, you have noticed that there is some extremely strong language that is used. And I've been cutting the strong language out. For intergenerational purposes. But you can read them for yourself. But the basic gist of what the message is when you have a Balaam in your midst, you're majoring in the minors, you're becoming distracted. There's something going on that's keeping you from being fully who you were called to be. Take heed, the letter says, and become victorious over it. When we gathered on these meetings, I've said before, the basic format was always the same. I asked two questions. And the first question was, when in the life of this church for you was for you your proudest moment? When was that moment when you just knew this is the true church of Jesus Christ? I mean, this is, God is in this place. In this very moment, this is a transcendent moment for me that, wow, I am so proud and happy to be a member of this church. And there were lots of responses to that all across the board. Children, youth, experiences that people had related to Vacation Bible School, for one, are... When this building first, when you first had your first worship service in this space, or when you broke ground on this space. And, I mean, there were moments of just high holy moments. And it was fun to hear you tell those things. But there was a second question. And the second question was, when in your experience in the life of this church, as a member of this congregation, when you were the saddest? And some people responded thinking I meant disappointed, but I said sadness, sad. And there were a variety of responses to that one as well. When you're a brand new church and everything's new and everything's exciting because you're giving birth to something that's brand new, and there is a clear vision that you are doing something new and exciting. The music is just so beautiful and inspiring, and we're all together, and we're doing what needs to be done to make this new church blossom and grow, and new people are coming every Sunday, and it's exciting and it's thrilling. When you're in the midst of those days and you're a young congregation, and the average age of the congregation was young, and young children and all this, you don't think about death. And when death comes to a young church, it is always tragic. I know. Been there. Sad day in the life of the church. When the first little baby born on the day the church opened, with a birth defect, and 8 months later died. First birth and the first death and the first funeral in this church was a very sad day. Meta Henson dedicated the playground in her memory, her honor. Wasn't long after that when another very dynamic lay leader in this church, one with an incredibly charismatic personality that brought a lot of people into this church just by sheer personality and just joy of the Lord, died very unexpectedly of a brain aneurysm. Steve Phillips dedicated the garden over here in his name. And it wasn't long after that when another very dynamic lay leader in this church was up here doing everything, involved in all things, engaged fully in the life of this young, blossoming church, was killed in an automobile accident on 380 coming home from work. Reed Stenstrom, the kitchen over here, is dedicated to his memory. Those were very sad days. But the saddest day of all in the history of this church was Sunday, November the 9th, 2003. And that was the day your founding pastor, Don Smith, got up here and stood before you and said, first line, most of you know that this is my last day at Stonebridge Church. And for many of you, that was the last thing you heard, which was a very brilliant sermon. But from that moment, Don began to pour out his heart and soul to you. And it was revealed, he shared, that he hadn't been taking care of himself for the past 3 years. that all of the, you know, whatever you want to call it, the burden or the responsibility or the whatevers of being the founding pastor of a very fast-growing, dynamic model church start was weighing heavy on his soul and being. And that he began to self-medicate, he would say. And in full disclosure, he confessed that he had had issues with alcohol, and it had overtaken him, and he could not control it any longer, and he had to take care of himself and his family first. Took a lot of incredible courage to do that. The sermon was not only his self-confession before you, but it was also, you know, a sermon of hope and realization that, you know, the foundation of this church had been laid, but there is much more to do. And that the church at that point was the healthiest it has ever been. And it was a very positive and affirming sermon about who you are and what you were about, and to hang in there and hold on, stay firm to what you have built and continue to build and to grow. Without question, Don Smith was an incredible, charismatic, marvelous pastor. In many ways, extremely gifted. He did not blame the church. Blamed himself. That was a sad day. He pleaded with the congregation to hold on. And the other aspect of the fallout of that day was there were many who could not hold on. And several hundred people left. They couldn't hold on. Many of your friends, still friends to this day, but are not here anymore, couldn't hold on. And that is a very sad day. In the little church in Pergamon, you had Jews in the city who held to a very rigid religion. You had intellectuals in the city who held to a scientism that, you know, religion was just an accommodation. You had Christians in this city for whom the Jews it was a stumbling block, and for the intellectuals it was a folly. But for believers who knew the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God to redeem, the power of God to take what is dead and bring it back to life, the power of God that can forgive sins, restore, replenish, refresh, revive, redeem, and give new life to, is the power of God, and it is the Christian gospel. A stumbling block to some people and folly to others, but to the faithful believers, it is the power of God, and it is real. And this church knows that it's real. Today, Don Smith is a redeemed man. God is good. All the time, God is good. His ministry is reestablished. He is now the pastor at St. Peter's United Methodist Church in Katy, Texas, and he is back to his charismatic self. And we miss him. But God is good. What I have learned over the past several months is that that event on November the 9th, 2003, continues for many people in this church to be kind of a pall. Many are still grieving. There's this undergirded kind of awareness of we're not what we used to be. We need to get over that. And we need to move on. Grieving time is over. We will remember, and we will remember fondly, and we will rejoice in the power of God in this place. And we will now become what God is calling us to be in full blossom. Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We are not there yet. But we're going to be, because we have experienced redemption and we know it's real. We know it's true. The gospel is true.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.